3 days. Doesn't sound like a long time, but when you have 3 full days to consider what's in front of you, not a whole lot of else to do, but just to look at that huge river. Now, it's not much of a river most of the year, but at this time of the year, it was. It was a river that was overflowing at its banks, and it was a river that was very formidable for the hundreds of thousands of people who pitched their tents and considered what might could be, what was in front of them, what was about to happen. A lot of uncertainty, no doubt. For some, the concern of yesterday's decision gone bad, thinking that through, in fact, not just for 3 days, but for 40 years. 40 years. But God has a way of bringing us full circle, doesn't He? Bring us back to the place of decision that we should have made and we didn't, and yet now He gives us another opportunity. That's the grace and the mercy of God to do such a thing. His plan is so important and so vital for His people, and He wants them to experience the fullness of that plan, and so He brings them back to the very same riverbank that they once stood at. Oh, they already knew, based upon Joshua and Caleb's experience, that this was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was the promised land. It was a land of enrichment. It was a land like they had never experienced before. And yet 40 years earlier, you know the story, I think, for most of you anyways, but it was a land that they refused to enter into. But now for 3 days. 3 days. They were going to look out across that river, and they were going to talk amongst themselves by family and by tribe and by nation. They were going to begin to wrap their mind and particularly their faith around this idea of how do we get to the other side? How is that going to happen? On Jordan's stormy banks, they stood. And there were some certainties about that experience that I think it does us well. Year by year, we recall these experiences together because for me, at least, it reminds me of what God is capable and desiring of doing. That He's not through. And that He has great expectation for His people. And when we walk in that expectation and we walk in the preparation, we actually see God move. We will see God's hand at work. If we're reminded that God desires to move and we're reminded that God wants to move in the midst of His people, if we're reminded of that, it just, there's a surge of hope that floods through our soul. And we're reminded that God's plan continues, even sometimes in the midst of our failures, even sometimes in the midst of obstacles and circumstances that are beyond our control. Who could control a river flowing from the north at that rate? Who could control the river flowing at that expanse? Who could control the river? They had no control over what was going on, but certainly God did. God did. We find the story in Joshua 3, don't we? It is a familiar one for many of us, but let us consider it again this day in hopes that it might renew our faith and strengthen us and create in us a sense of expectation that we need to wrap our minds around that God is not through. Joshua 3. Joshua rose early in the morning, and he removed from Shittim, and they came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel. And they lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, a repetitive phrase in Joshua 3, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place, and you shall follow after it. You shall go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, 2,000 cubits by measure, about the length of 1,000 yards or 10 football fields. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. 3 times, Joshua uses the word no in this passage of Scripture. And while there is much in this passage that certainly we have discovered together through the years, I want us to consider this word no. What were they supposed to know? Joshua wanted them to know something on behalf of the Lord. He was God's spokesman. He was the one that God was going to use. Well, who else would you pick? I mean, there was Joshua who for 40 years, he wanted to go into the land. It wasn't that he was rebellious, but you know, the majority of the committee said no. But Joshua and Caleb held it close to their heart. And so God revealed a plan to Joshua that would lead his people to the other side. But this word no occurs three times here, and I think there's some importance here. He says there's a way that you need to know, that you may know the way by which you must go. You need to know the way. What is it about the way that you need to know? First of all, you need to know that God has a particular way for doing things. And so he created this distance between the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized the presence of God, and the people. And they were supposed to follow after the Ark, which symbolized the presence of God, which contained the Ten Commandments, which contained Aaron's rod, which spoke of God's presence. And wherever the Ark was to move, they were supposed to follow after it. A very simple instruction, but you know, let's get it straight here. Simple instructions sometimes are difficult to abide by. Because while we all want to know what God's will is for our lives, when God shows us His will, we find it difficult to be obedient sometimes. We would rather dabble around the nebulous ideas and the vague things and the things we're not really sure about so that, well, it really is not clear whether or not we're being obedient to the Lord. But when God speaks clearly and He speaks specifically, sometimes it's difficult to obey even the most simplest things that He tells us to do. And that is just follow the ark. Just follow. You don't have it all worked out. For 3 days, they considered this now. Given the instruction that they were now going to cross, I mean, how is this supposed to happen? You can only imagine what they thought. I mean, they were just like us, and we're just like them. I mean, they're just people, right? And the people of God, they were challenged with this idea of following the Lord. It seems simple, but it's difficult at times, isn't it? We're oftentimes so mesmerized by the things that we don't know that we fail to follow the God that we do know and the things that He's already shown us. And why would God show us anything further if we're not obedient to the things He's already told us to do? Why? Why do you suppose God would do that? Some of us want to be deep Bible students, and that's commendable. But listen, the reason why God leads us into an understanding of who He is so that we can be obedient and more responsive to the things He calls us to do. And to know Him is to obey Him. Eventually, God, you know, listen, He doesn't have to disclose Himself. But one of the things I see about this word know is that He tells us we're to know something about the way of God. And it tells me something about the will of God. That it's revealed. It's revealed to us. He shows us. And maybe it's after 3 days, maybe it's after 3 months, maybe it's after 3 years. I don't know, but in time, He discloses His plan and His purpose. And there is a way that He wants it done. And there is a direction that He wants us to go. And as we stand on maybe some of the stormiest banks of our lives, and as we stand at these critical times in our lives today, we are just like them. We need to know, Lord, the way. What's the way? Jesus Himself said He was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man could come to the Father except through Him. No one. You are no exception. Don't you think for a moment you're going to get into heaven based upon your own goodness, which is as filthy rags, the Bible tells us. Don't you think for one moment that your good works will outweigh your bad works and somehow God is going to be obligated to let you come into heaven. Don't you think that for one moment. There is a way that God has designed. There is a way that God has purposed. And that way is ultimately through His Son, Jesus Christ. His way has always been clear, but sometimes difficult to follow. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow Him. This thing about being a Christian isn't all that easy sometimes, is it? Following Jesus isn't always that easy. And yet when He reveals Himself to us, He reveals Himself so that we can know His plan. And I marvel at this because that God would even speak to us. You know, God is the one who's reached out to us when we were not on speaking terms. Did you know that? God's been speaking to you even when you haven't been speaking to Him. And so he reveals himself, and he does so. In his revealed plan, these things can be known. Now, there's much that we cannot know, and they're held in the mind and the heart of our Almighty God. There's much that we just don't know. But what little we do know about the revealed plan of God is profound. Profound. God's up to some things in your life. I hope you believe that. I want you to know, First Baptist Church, God's up to some things right here. How many of you have heard the voice of God? He's revealed some things to you, and he has shown you through the word and through counsel and through circumstances. He's shown you some things, and you have yet to really take that step. What's keeping you from taking that step in your life today? God has revealed himself to you. What else would it take? What else does he need to show you? His will can be known. And it can be known because he is a gracious God who has revealed himself. He stepped out of the glory of heaven and he showed up here about 2,000 years ago in a very defined way through his son Jesus Christ. That's about as clear as it gets, folks. It's about as clear as it gets. He revealed himself. And we can know him. So we got to know the way as we're standing on the banks and we're looking and contemplating, what is God up to? What is he going to do? We got to know the way. And there's something else about the way that you need to understand, because in the last part of verse 4, he says, "For you have not passed this way heretofore." And so there's something about knowing the way that we just never have understood before. It's different. It's different. The way is different. We've been doing the same thing the same way and expecting different results every year, right? That's really the definition of insanity or madness. We just expect that you know, it's going to change. Some of you, your lifestyles and the way that you've been living, you think that you're going to get a different result, and the way you've been living, it's going to produce the same thing that it's always produced. The only way you're going to see anything different is to follow God, who's leading you in a different way, in a different path. You're going to find a different result because you've chosen to hear and to follow after God's revealed plan for your life. And now you won't have all the answers to it. But can you imagine how these people felt? A whole group of people, they would, I mean, come on. We don't even represent a fraction of the tribe that was there that day, of one of the 12. And the people of God gathered together, which I think is marvelous. Isn't it interesting how Joshua talks about how the people gathered themselves together? This was something individual, but it was much bigger than that. What God was doing was very corporate. It was about all of God's people. God has a plan and a purpose for his church today. It's about what he's going to do in and through his church, the body of Christ. When we decide to follow. That's right, we. And I'm not talking about me and the mouse in my pocket, you know. I'm talking about us. Because if it would have just been about Joshua and Caleb, they'd have been in the land 40 years ago. If it would have just been about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or a handful of people, they'd have already been there. But it was something about God moving his people collectively together. The church. We are the church. The body of Christ. God has a purpose and a plan for his church. Believe that. And believe that what he chooses to do, It's essential for us to be prepared for it. Notice what he says in verse 5. "And Joshua said to the people, 'Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.'" Today's preparation will lead to tomorrow's expectation, will lead to next week's, well, fulfillment of what God desires. But you're not going to experience what you don't prepare for. Could it have been possible that some folks just sort of got caught up? And I think it's probably so that some folks did, you know, maybe mom and dad were getting everything ready and saying, "Listen, you know, we got the orders and the officers, the leaders that Joshua has called them to go out and spread the word. This is the plan. This is what we're supposed to do." And the kids were out playing. They don't really understand all that's going on, but mom and dad said, "Let's do this." And so, hey, we're in it, you know, because they say we're supposed to do it, and they're obeying their parents, but they're not really sure how this is going to shake out. I wonder if there's any teenagers there that day that wondered, you know, I don't really know about all this, but, you know, they're just sort of caught up in the flow of it. I'm sure there were people there that were just sort of caught up in the flow and what actually materialized, and it wasn't until later that it hit them. Wow, that really happened. And some of them, maybe they never really got it. We have indication that God's people, even though they crossed into the promise of land and the promised land, that they that over time that they became distant in their relationship with the Lord. And someone says, well, I need a miracle, and that right there, that'll take care of it. If I just had a miracle, I would be convinced. Well, thank God for miracles, right? But I'm convinced even apart from the miracle. The major miracle that I'm looking at is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and that opens up hope for me for the rest of my life. We have hope. We have a belief, but there's some folks that don't quite get it. Or they see what God has done. Maybe you've seen God answer a prayer in the life of your family. And you've seen God move. And you've taken those steps with the Lord. And right now in your life, you're distant. You're distant. Your relationship with the Lord isn't what it needs to be. You know it. And nobody really has to tell you that. But sometimes it's helpful to be reminded through His Word that, you know, sometimes our hearts can grow cold and indifferent. And they can become calloused. And even though we're walking with the group, we're really not enjoying the full blessing of what God is doing as He pours out His blessing into the group. Some of y'all have been members of this church for a long time. I mean, you've caught a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I mean, you know, it's just, you sort of have an occasional relationship with the Lord through His church. Let me encourage you to get into the flow of what God's doing here. Get into the flow, because, you know, we'll never actually be the church that God desires us to be without you. You are important to what God is doing. This church will be what God wants it to be when all of us, when we are coming together. And I know I'm speaking ideally here. It'd be wonderful if 100% of us would really do this together. But, you know, hey, you just go with the flow and whoever's moving with the Lord, right? But, you know, some of you, there's no telling what God could do through your life if you would simply just acknowledge the Lord, acknowledge and recognize His way for your life, and that whatever He's doing in you, He is doing also in us together. Know the way. Know the way. It's a different way. You've never been this way before. It's uncharted waters. This isn't something that you can take out and say, you know, this is how we did it last time. You know, when I come to this passage of Scripture each year, I think, Lord, what is it that you have done, or Lord, what is it that you are desiring to do in the life of your church that none of us can cite a reference to the past and say it happened like this before, and so that's the template for how it's going to happen like that in the future. Not to say that every year there has to be some, you know, monumental thing. I'm not suggesting that. Listen, it took years for this to occur. But sometimes when God is moving, He does so in such a way that none of us can define it by anything that's happened in the past. And that the only way we can appreciate it is by embracing it in the present. And the only way we embrace it in the present is if we will sanctify, consecrate, prepare ourselves, set ourselves apart for what God might want to do right here. And it may not be, you know, spantabulous. I just made it up. It may not be like this huge thing. But what if it is? What if it is? He says He's going to do wonders. In other words, whatever He's about to do, and they don't see it yet. Now, you try to throw yourself back into this situation. Understand, they've been looking at this river, and they're considering this for 3 days. That's a lot of time to consider something when that's all that you have to do, is think about what might happen and what could happen and all that could go wrong, certainly. But they don't know what's about to happen. But God's telling them that if they prepare themselves, His way is to do something that is so wondrous that when they go through it, they're all going to look back at it and say, wow, this never happened. It's never happened like this. In fact, in chapter 4, we're told that 12, a representative of each tribe, is going to go into the river itself and take out a stone to commemorate that day. But they don't know that yet, okay? And you don't either. You just have to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to get ready today, because You said You're going to do something on a scale that I have yet to see. You're going to do something on a level that I have never experienced, and that nothing within my paradigm or nothing within my way of thinking can measure it. It's going to be so great that we're going to sit there with our jaws hanging down to the ground. That's what You said, Lord. Well, paraphrase, right? Know the way. God's ways, we could just spend some time here. God's, listen, I want you to, and I want us as a church today to understand that God's ways for His church is on a scale that nobody else can provide. It is on a level that we have yet to see. Let me encourage you. Wouldn't you want me to believe this? You say, oh, you've been preaching that for 13 years. Yeah, I have. I have. And while there are times I've believed it more than others, that's true, that probably could be said of you. And the last thing you would want would be a pastor who didn't actually believe this, okay? Because the end result would be like we see in so many circumstances. Ah, you just caught up. No, I'm not either. Nothing else. I need a stronger dose of enthusiasm. You know that? From the Lord, that is. Not man-made. What do you suppose God might want to do in your life personally? What do you suppose that God might want to do right here in this, His church? We're going to be praying about that tonight. I hope you'll be here. Praying for revival, restoration of our hearts. Be a good place to begin. But then He says something else in verse 7. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. You shall command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. You got to know the way. But you have to also know that God's way, while it reveals His plan, that God's will shows us where His power will reside. Joshua had a choice, either to tell the people as the Lord had instructed him, and to give some direction, no more than what God said, no less than what God said, but simply what God said, which would be profound and substantial in the life of an entire nation. And His word to Joshua is that you've got to experience My will according to My plan if you're going to experience My power. God resides in His will. That's where the power of God exists. Not just outside of it, not running ahead of it, but right dab in the center of His will. And for Joshua, that was substantial because he was telling the people and giving some direction and some instruction and casting a vision that wasn't his. It was the Lord's, and instruction that wasn't his. It was the Lord's. And he was about to realize whether or not, you know, this whole thing was going to come true. Now, he believed God, but he wanted them to know that while God had this plan for their life, is that the power of God ultimately resided in the plan. It resided within the context of His will, not outside of it. And in the church today, if we need to hear a message, this is certainly one of those messages. If we want to experience the power and the outpouring of God's Spirit, it will be according to the will of Almighty God. Not outside of it. Over and over and over, Joshua talks about the Ark of the Covenant. But he talks about the Lord. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. He uses the word Lord over and over and over again. What is he saying to them? When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, Jehovah God, the covenant-making God of Israel, the one who's given you promise after promise after promise, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the one who has made His promise, He has established His will, when you see that, follow it. Do you suppose if before the 3 days, before they received this instruction, that if a few of them had gotten together and thought, you know, I think we got it figured out, we have devised, engineers, we have devised the plan how to get across the river. It's overflowing at its banks. And listen, I've been there and we've seen it. Several of us have seen it. And there isn't much to the River of Jordan when it's not overflowing at its banks. You look at it and think, this is like a creek. But at that time, as the Bible tells us over in verse 15, that the Jordan overflows his bank all the time of the harvest. And so, you know, they're contemplating a plan. You imagine just 2 days into this, they're thinking of it. And a few guys come up and say, listen, we got an idea here. We think we can build something across there, or we think we can go downriver. Or, I mean, any plan that they would have come up with would have been a failure. Would have been a failure. Because moving that many people across that river was humanly impossible. Had they tried it, you could imagine what the river would have done. Certainly it would have swept them away. God was trying to, he was causing them to discover in their holy pause, in this Selah moment, that they were going to consider what he was going to do, that they were preparing their hearts, because preparation has a lot to do with expectation. Let me just tell you something about this matter. If you never prepare yourself for worship on Sunday, you're probably not getting much out of it. If you're new, you'll get something out of it for a while. But listen, man, I've been here 13 years. Most of these folks, they've heard most of what I have to say. That gets old after a while, unless you're walking with the Lord. Because when the Word of God is explained, regardless of whoever it may be standing at this pulpit, if the Word of God is being taught and explained and taught taught to us, then listen, we'll get something from it. We get something from the Word of God. Listen, if worship has become dull and boring, and well, you need to do a spiritual checkup. Maybe there hasn't been any preparation. You don't expect anything because you hadn't prepared for anything. When I used to coach Little League Baseball, listen, we practice all week long. Could you expect to do anything in a Little League Baseball game if you hadn't prepared all week long? I mean, you're keyed up on the night that you're going to play, right? Why? Has you showed up that one night to play? No, because you practiced all week long. You're ready to go. You're good to go. Why? Because you were ready. You're prepared. You're prepared. Right now, some of you guys are in 2 days. We got a band that practices, I think, 15, 16 hours a day. Why? Because on Friday night, it's going to all come together. And you're going to see something happen on that night. I mean, you know, but it's not, can you imagine the band not practicing before Friday night? Hundreds of these kids, man. You have to prepare, don't you? And when you do, it's worth it. On God's level of things, when you prepare and you do as He calls us to prepare ourselves, then we're capable of seeing things happen in a realm and a way that other people don't get to see. And that some people who are even present don't even see. But there's something about knowing the will of God and knowing that the power of God resides within His will. Within His will. Not outside of it, not ahead of it, not behind it, but right in the middle of it. And then, let's continue the story, because the instruction goes out. They're told, the priests are told to carry the Ark of the Covenant. You know this portion of the story. To step into the River of Jordan, it's supposed to go down just exactly like that. I mean, they're supposed to lead out and do exactly what the Lord has commanded them to do. But notice in verse 10, and Joshua said, "Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will, without fail, drive out from before you all the Canaanites and Hittites and all the people of that land." This is how you're going to know that God's in your midst. You're going to have to believe the plan. You're going to have to walk in accordance to it. You're going to have to follow the Ark of the Covenant. And when the priest, who I'm sure had some questions themselves, because remember, they've never done it this way before. Everybody's learning to trust the Lord. The covenant-making Lord of Israel. And everybody's learning to do that. And as they do it, he says, in this way, you are going to know my witness. I am going in the midst of this whole act, I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up. And my presence will be very real. You think God wants to show up in the midst of his people today? We read these Bible stories. Some of us, we didn't when we were little kids. And we're not. Before I read this story, I was an adult. But so oftentimes, those of us who've read the story many times, and certainly those who've been instructed since our kindergarten days in these stories, they're nice stories. They're neat. Isn't that neat? Wasn't that great what God did back then? Isn't that something how, in a miraculous way, that God, he rolled back the riverbed, the river of Jordan, and allowed all those people to go through there? Isn't that something? Look at it here on the little picture. See that? That's where they went through, and they went across over there to Jericho. See that? Isn't that? Yeah, that's neat. And we never mature in our understanding that while that is great and that is wonderful and a kid ought to be amazed, whatever happened to our childlike amazement about what God could do? For a child hearing that story, remember, go back. You, for the first time, and you read it and you think, wow. But didn't your heart take you to places like, God, could you do something like that right now for me? Could you do something like that, Lord, right here? In this day, in this time, in your church, would you, Lord? God, would you? Would you entrust us with something so monumental that we, if we are obedient to, could be a living testimony and a historical reminder of your faithfulness for generations? Lord, would you do that? Do you even have the want to for God to do something like this? Do you really, really have it in you to say, Lord, would you do something like that, my family? We've been wandering around for 40 years. Maybe some of you men, you dropped the ball and you realize it. And for years, you've allowed just your family to wander. Yes, men, you. And you've allowed your family to just wander around. You believe that God could do something amazing in your family. You think he even wants to? I think he does. I think he does. I believe that. Has God put on my heart some kind of, you know, Joshua kind of plan here? I don't have anything like that to share with you today. But I have expectation to in believing that God is not through with you and with me and with us. Do you believe that? So we got to know the way. We must know the will of God if we're ever going to experience and know the witness of the power of the living God in our midst. And the only reason not to experience God's power is because we're unwilling. What do you believe God for right now in your life? What would you like to see? Because, listen, let's just finish the story. Let's just finish the story. There's a story to be finished in your life. There's a story to be finished at First Baptist Church. There's a story that needs to be finished. And it needs to be finished by the people who are willing to pick up the ark and to take it out into the middle of the river of Jordan. And for people who are willing to follow after the ark and to seek after God's presence, there's a story that needs to be finished because there's generations to follow. And if that story is not complete right here through us, there won't be anybody to tell the story in the years to come. Because we'll be dead, non-existent. Our families won't give birth to families of faith and generations of faith. Our church won't do that. There's a story that needs to be finished right here. Right here. Right here. So what story do you think God wants to fulfill in your life today? I want you to bow your head for a moment. Maybe you're on a stormy bank today. I don't know where you are. But you're on a bank. and you're looking out across what seems to be insurmountable in your life. Maybe you're a leader in this church and you think that that's exactly where we are. Maybe there are things that seem to be insurmountable. They are in our strength. They are insurmountable from our perspective. They are insurmountable with our resources. But they are absolutely possible from God's point of view, and absolutely possible from God's perspective, and certainly absolutely possible with God's resources for our lives. Just ask God to speak to your heart this morning. If you're here today and you're looking for the way, Jesus declared himself to be the way. I urge you and appeal to you by the Spirit of God that you would commit to following Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. That you would embrace him as the Son of the living God. That you would embrace him as your only means of salvation. Today you can make that public and say, listen, I need to do that. I need the Lord as my Savior. Listen, we'll rejoice. We'll rejoice. We'll just praise God with you and thank God for what he's doing in your life. That's why this church exists. It's to glorify the Lord, and in doing so, see people come to know Jesus, just like I have come to know him and many, many people around you have. So I invite you to commit your heart to Christ today as the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe there's an issue in your or situation right now, and I want to encourage you that while it seems too big for you, and it probably is, that the Lord, it's not too big for the Lord. Believe that. Believe that God is, he's going to work in your midst. Now you've got to prepare your heart for that, okay? It doesn't just happen. God wants to move, but he's a jealous God, so when he moves, ultimately at the end of the day, he wants everybody to give him the attention. So when you prayed and you asked God to show up in a big way because you got a big circumstance in your life, and he does, you'd better give God the honor, you understand? You'd better say, Lord, thank you. Don't tip God now. Give him the glory and the honor for what he's done in your life. And also ask him to do a major work in your life. You say, well, I haven't seen that yet, but I'm going to prepare my heart. Are you willing to commit your heart today? You're willing to commit your heart to that? You'll see God move in your life. I don't have any doubt about the Lord. I have some doubts about myself sometimes, and I have some doubts of, you know, when it comes to others, but no, I don't have any doubt when it comes to the Lord at all. And church, I want to ask us as a question, as we're praying and asking the Lord to move in our lives, I want to ask you to renew your faith and your commitment to serving the Lord through his church. Not your church, not Joe Worley's church. We call it First Baptist Church in Groves, but the truth of the matter is, this church is headed by Jesus Christ. And he's calling all members of the body to be present so that we might be healthy. We might function together. So Lord, as we commit our hearts to you, whether it be in salvation, whether it be in renewing our faith, Lord, whether it be in simply believing today that you are capable of showing up in the midst of your own plan, that you'll do that. And just having faith to know that you will arrive. And you will arrive on time within your plan. Lord God, renew the faith of your people this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.